Today is Tuesday, June 2nd. What to know today about President Trump's promise to end riots, even if it takes military force. Also, the different findings from two different autopsy reports about how George Floyd died. Plus, there's new guidance for protesters to avoid spreading COVID-19, why Facebook employees walked out, and where customer service is taking on a whole new meaning. Welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. As protests carry into a second week, President Trump is taking an especially tough approach to try and end the chaos. In a Rose Garden address, he declared himself the, quote, president of law and order. Then he said he would deploy thousands of soldiers to Washington, D.C. As he spoke, microphones picked up the sound of tear gas and rubber bullets in the background. Law enforcement officers were clearing peaceful protesters from the park in front of the White House. They also set off a series of flashbangs to disperse the crowds. At this point, there have been no reports those protests included any acts of violence, vandalism, or theft, and it was still about 15 minutes before Washington, D.C.'s curfew went into effect. It was to clear the way for President Trump to walk to a nearby church. The president then stood outside the church and posed for photos while holding a Bible. The bishop of the Episcopal Diocese of Washington, D.C. said she's outraged. She said she wasn't given notice the president was going to visit the church and felt he was abusing sacred symbols of faith to justify a message that divides and goes against what the church stands for. But the White House defended the action, saying protesters set fires in that same spot the night before, so law enforcement had good reason to set a perimeter around it. In fact, in the Rose Garden speech, Trump urged mayors and governors around the country to do more to stop violence, looting, and what he called domestic terrorists who were taking advantage of peaceful protests. He threatened to step in and deploy the U.S. military in more areas if local leaders refused to, quote, take the actions necessary to defend the life and property of their residents. He said cities and states should establish an overwhelming and heavily armed law enforcement presence. Trump did also mention George Floyd, who died at the hands of police a week ago and whose death sparked the ongoing protests. Trump said justice will be served and that Floyd will not die in vain, though Trump's critics say he should have talked more about the issue of police brutality. So far, National Guard members have been activated in at least 23 states. So there are now two different autopsy reports about what caused George Floyd's death. One is from the county medical examiner. The other is from private medical examiners hired by Floyd's family. They both rule Floyd's death as a homicide, but they highlighted different causes for it. The county medical examiner found Floyd's heart failed. It found he likely had heart disease, which was then exacerbated by the violent arrest. But the independent report found Floyd suffocated to death. Specifically, it said he died from ongoing pressure on his neck and back, which cut off blood flow to his brain. Of course, those are the same spots on his body Minneapolis police kneeled on him for several minutes last week before he died. That report also found no underlying medical conditions contributed to his death. The Floyd family attorney echoed protesters' demands for more serious criminal charges against the officers involved. Remember, fired Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin was charged with third-degree murder and second-degree manslaughter. The attorney says it should be first-degree murder charges, and that the other three officers who watched the violence and even kneeled on Floyd's back should also be charged. For another night, curfews were issued in at least 40 cities from coast to coast, but in many places, that wasn't enough to keep the peace. For example, early this morning in New York City, police say hundreds of people took advantage of the unrest by breaking into downtown Manhattan businesses and looting them. In Chicago, shots were reportedly fired at police. And in other places, like Los Angeles and Philadelphia, police arrested dozens of protesters who tried to block busy interstates. Still, throughout the day, there were tens of thousands of protesters marching peacefully, gathering in prayer and singing in the streets. Also, we did see even more examples of police officers joining protesters in certain cities, like the officers in Kansas City, Missouri, who held a sign that read, "End police brutality." And there were emotional moments in Minneapolis yesterday when George Floyd's brother spoke to people gathering near a makeshift memorial. Terrence Floyd visited the spot where his brother was killed just last week. He spent several minutes sitting on the street sobbing, then he pleaded for peace and chanted for justice alongside protesters. There's even more concern mass protests could spark fresh waves of new COVID-19 infections. Politico reports testing sites in Pennsylvania, Florida, California, and Illinois had to close during chaotic demonstrations. Of course, it comes at an especially risky time. Public officials have already been worried about caseloads rising as states reopen, but no one was quite prepared to see this many people getting together so soon. The U.S. Surgeon General said yesterday, quote, based on the way the virus spreads, there is every reason to expect we will see new clusters and potentially new outbreaks moving forward. Quite a few health departments, like the one in New York City, tweeted out advice to protesters. Some of the suggestions include using signs and noisemakers instead of yelling, standing as far away from others as possible, also staying hydrated and using hand sanitizer. By the end of the night tonight, former Vice President Joe Biden could officially be the Democratic nominee in the race for president. Biden needs 425 more delegates to win the majority, and there are 479 at stake today. Presidential primary ballots are due today in Indiana, Maryland, Montana, New Mexico, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, South Dakota, and Washington, D.C. Of course, we already pretty much know the November race will be between President Trump and Biden, since they're the final two candidates in the primaries. But still, once it's official, it'll be a milestone for Biden's campaign. Even though there's not a lot of suspense in the presidential primaries, voters in all eight locations with elections still are deciding some local races today. In each of them, leaders have encouraged people to vote by mail, though there will also be in-person polling places open. All right, we have more news coming up, but first, let's take a quick break for our sponsor. Do you ever feel like you want something similar to what The Newsworthy is for news, but for nonfiction books, where you get the key things to know in just 10 or 15 minutes? If so, say hello to a unique app called Blinkist. Blinkist gives you just the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books and condenses them down into just 15 minutes. For me, Blinkist complements my regular reading. I'll be taking my time getting through a full book while also getting additional knowledge, tips, and perspectives from a variety of books on Blinkist. And it's convenient. Blinkist works on your phone, tablet, or web browser, and you can choose to read or listen. Whether you want to learn more about the fire movement with the book Playing with Fire, or if you need to de-stress and simplify your life with the popular and helpful book The Simplicity Principle, Blinkist gives you unlimited access to a massive library for one price. Just go to Blinkist.com/news to try it free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, Blinkist.com/news to start your free 7-day trial and save 25% off when you sign up at Blinkist.com/news. Now, back to the news. Facebook plans to hold a town hall with its employees today. It comes after hundreds of staff staged a virtual walkout, which essentially means they refuse to work, even as many of them are working from home right now. The New York Times reports they're upset Facebook will not moderate some of President Trump's posts, like the ones that called protesters thugs, and said, quote, "When the looting starts, the shooting starts." The pressure is on for Facebook to take more action on these types of posts, especially after Twitter put violence warnings and fact-check labels on some of Trump's tweets last week. But Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg has taken a different hands-off approach, leaving the post as is. He's argued before the public should be allowed to decide on their own what to share and what to believe. That said, he took other action against racial injustice. Zuckerberg donated $10 million to organizations fighting for equality. Celebrities are throwing their weight behind the nationwide protests. The AP reports actors like Jamie Foxx and Nick Cannon demonstrated with activists in Minneapolis. Pop star Halsey and actor Kendrick Samson apparently got pelted with rubber bullets during LA protests. Deadline reports other big names like Chrissy Teigen and Steve Carell are donating money to bail protesters out of jail. And former NFL star Colin Kaepernick set up a fund to pay for their lawyer fees. The music industry is chiming in too. Major record labels are pausing business today, so employees can reflect on ways they can help the Black community. Well, Google is rolling out a new feature for its Pixel smartphones. It's called Safety Check. You can ask your phone to check in on you at a later time to make sure you're okay. So, for example, it might be useful if you're hiking alone somewhere or walking home at night. At the scheduled time, your phone will ask you if you're okay. If you don't respond, though, your phone will alert your emergency contacts. It also gives you the option to then share your location or call 911. The new feature is available in the Pixel's personal safety app. One online retailer is taking customer service to a whole new level and redefining retail therapy. CBS News reports the Amazon-owned Zappos, known for its shoes, revamped its customer service line to take calls from people who are simply lonely or need help with basic requests. Customer service reps are available to chat about all sorts of things, from your future travel plans and favorite Netflix shows to how to find your nearest medical center or grocery store. Already, the company has taken about 3,000 calls, and apparently some were from parents quarantined with small children who just wanted to talk to another adult, or teenagers who needed help with their homework. Zappos says it started this because of the pandemic, but it might keep the service around even after the world reopens. All right, that's it for today. Thank you for listening and making The Newsworthy part of your daily routine. As always, you can read more about any of the news stories mentioned at thenewsworthy.com/shownotes. The Newsworthy is ready for you every weekday by 4 in the morning. We'll be back with much more news to know tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.
At Grainger, we're for the ones who specialize in saving the day and for the ones who've mastered the art of keeping business moving. We offer industrial-grade supplies for every industry with same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders, all backed by real people ready to help, so you can get the right answers and products right when you need them. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.